All right, let's get our Bibles out tonight. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. How many of you love summer? Oh man, I love summer. I like sitting outside summer night and watch the little fireflies dancing around in the side. And I do enjoy summertime. John chapter number 5, verse 1, it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay, please pay attention to verse 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the chance to be able to bring our prayer requests before you. God, it's good to know no matter where we're at, we can pray to you and you hear us. God, it's good to come together lifting these names up, knowing that these circumstances were brought before your throne, looking and seeking for your strength, seeking your will. God, we pray again for the salvation of those souls. Lord, we again pray for those requests that were not lifted tonight. Lord, maybe something personal, something difficult. Lord, I pray that you'd hear those prayers, Lord. God, as we look at this passage, I pray again that my thoughts would not be expressed, but yours. God, that you'd be honored and glorified, that we would be strengthened as people and reminded of just how great a God we serve. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're familiar with the passage, maybe. If not, it's a tremendous story. It's a tremendous set of events here. We're told outside of Jerusalem there was a sheep market, which is, again, called Bethesda, and they're having five porches. And these lay, the Bible says, a great multitude of impotent folk. Impotent means without power. Impotent folk. Now, it categorizes them. There was the blind. There was the halt. I feel a little rain. Is it me? No. Maybe it's just me where I'm at. What? That's what it is. We have a new speaker here. Say it looks like the old speaker. Well, it does, but it's new. And so we're thankful for that. All right. Can everyone hear me okay? Ryan, can you hear me back there? All right. Very good. All right. So we have this impotent folk, and they're categorized in three areas. Number one, blind. Number two, halt. And number three, withered. Without strength. They're just laying here, waiting. And as the passage reads, verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. Could you imagine the scene of that? There's this pool, and there's people flocked all around it. And every year, an angel comes down, touches the water, and the first one in the water completely healed. I would like to revisit the ailments. Blind. How do they know that the angel comes and touches the water? It's like playing spoons, right? How many of you played spoons? You get the cards and you pass it along and wait for someone to move, right? The blind guy can't see the angel coming down and touching the water. Well, the guy next to him is halt. Meaning what? He stopped moving. He's lame. The guy after that's even worse than that. He's shriveled up. He's withered. What a scene. Imagine what that looked like. Here we have a pool. It's touched. The waters are troubled. Maybe, in my mind, I don't know what you think of, but all of a sudden, in this little pool, there's this whirlwind. Choppy water. The first one to get in there. A It's tough to find when you're blind. It's tough to get to when you're halt. It's even harder when you're withered. I know this is real, and this is exactly what happened. But I want you to think about our life for a moment, too. I, too, was blind. I was halt and to the point of withering, just waiting. Because that's where it gets to. Without the Word of God, I am blind. Remember, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Without the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, we were blind. Had no idea about biblical views on things. And there we sat, just waiting. Hold your hand in this. Go to John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. The light is Jesus Christ, capital L right there. That all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, talking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, there was a bunch of blind guys sitting around this pool looking for Jesus. They didn't know they were looking for Jesus, but these blind people were looking for something. Do you see the... So was I. Without Christ, blind to these things. But I was looking for something. I was looking for the true light. I too was halt. I too was withered. And there we see the progression. See, when we are unable to see things, what happens? We just stop moving. And then we become withered. To the point where in John chapter 5, go back there, in John chapter 5 in verse 3. See, so many times I've read this and I thought, oh, these are three different groups of people. But it's almost a progression. You become blind, you no longer are looking for. And then you just stop to the point where you just shrivel up, just waiting for the moving of the water. Just waiting. How many people do you think were sitting around this pool? It doesn't give us a number. But a certain man was there that had, which had an infirmity 38 years. I don't know if he was there for 38 years or he had his infirmity for 38 years. But 38 years is a long time. 38 years blind. Maybe he was to the point of halt. Maybe he was to the point of withered. And there he sat there. What, point number one, there were some impotent folk. Impotent, without power. So were we without Christ. Impotent, without power. No strength. Could not do. Could not satisfy. It was getting worse in our life. The year after year after year without Christ, I guarantee your life gets worse and harder, and it just to the point of withering. There was an inability. Look at verse 5. John 5:5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. 38 years of trying to get to the pool. I wonder if he was ever second. I wonder if he was close. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus walks to the pool, walks to the place where all these people are, and this man has progressed. He was not part of the blind crowd. He was part of the halt and withered. And the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man." He did not know who he was talking about or who he was talking to. Oh, he certainly had somebody right there. The Bible says, "When the Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the water or into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Could you imagine that scene? All of a sudden the troubling of the water and everyone's trying to get there, and this guy can never get there. The Bible says that Jesus saw him, saw his case, and realized and said that he had had that for quite some time. You know, there certainly is a discouragement in trying to earn salvation without Christ. There's a discouragement of trying to live righteously without the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. That's frustrating. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. Look at this. Without Jesus, it's tough to do right. It's tough to get healing. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's the law. That's what the law brings, a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The Bible says no man is justified by the law. Do you know what the law could not do for this man? Heal him. He could not. Look at verse 23 of the same chapter, Galatians 3:23. "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." Limited. Without Christ, this man is limited. Without Christ, we were limited. We could only go so far, just waiting for an opportunity for faith. And then it says this in verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Hey, you may look at this and go, "Oh, this poor guy, for 38 years he either dealt with this or was by this pool, and oh, the frustrations." Do you understand, though, that because of that ailment, it brought him to Christ and Christ to him? We can look at this and go, "Oh, what a sad story." But the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hey, there's something to be said for getting into the Word of God and realizing, I can't do this without Jesus. When he says, "Sir, I have no man," hey, that was true, outside of Christ. 38 years before this one was ever moved by faith, what the law could not do, Jesus could by grace. Look at this now. John chapter 5 and verse, we'll go back to verse 7. The impotent, here he is, no power, no strength, unable to get healing. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, doesn't even touch him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." What the law could not do, Jesus did. And our third point, immediately. Number one, he was impotent. Number two, he was unable. He had an inability. He was limited by what the law could not do. But here he met Jesus. You know, many years have been spent in frustrations trying to solve our sin problem. And all it does is take one moment with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one moment, look at verse 9. "And immediately the man was made whole." You humble yourself, you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, you put your faith and trust in him, and then immediately You went from impotent, an inability to satisfy, an inability to find salvation in your own, to immediately being saved. You know, and remember, go to Numbers. Go to the book of Numbers. Hold your hand in John. We'll come back here. Go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. I feel like I can go to this passage. Mrs. Buck is out of town, so we can talk about snakes tonight. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Ever get discouraged along the way of life? Sure, absolutely. Well, the problem is they spake against Moses and God. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They were complaining, and God says, oh, you think it's bad now? Here, watch this. I don't think he chuckled, but I did. And he sent fiery serpents. Every now and then, the Lord does something. Every now and then, the Lord does something that really just shocks you and just gets a hold of your attention. And man, all of a sudden, they got humble real quick. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. He says, I want you to take a serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. There they are. Their blood is coagulating in their body. That means it's turning from liquid to solid. They're dying. And Moses is, and they're trying to get this serpent up on this pole of brass. That's not easy. That's going to take some work. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. There he is. He's dying. The body, he's starting to feel less and less movement. He's getting to the point where he is halt. He is withering away. If he could just look up to this thing, he's immediately healed. That's what we see here. Jesus comes by and he says, pick up your bed and walk. And immediately, that's what happens at this altar. Lord, forgive me. And immediately, their sins are forgiven. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You read some of those stories back in your Old Testament and go, what was God doing? Why was he? Hey, as Jesus will one day be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to add a word, immediately. Just like it happened back in Numbers 21, so does it happen today. You put your faith in Christ, and immediately you're saved. Immediately your sins are forgiven. Just like this man came by Jesus. Jesus comes by his way and he says, take up your bed, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He just said that to a lame man. And immediately. The results of faith are immediate. Our sin was paid for, and immediately we were saved. And what a blessing it is to know that I too was impotent, without power, without strength. Pretty much, I was sitting by the pool just waiting, hoping for a chance. And Jesus came by all of our way. He didn't just pick one person out. He came by all our way and paid for our sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll end. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. See, the law couldn't save you. Your money can't save you. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, why a lamb? Because one day that lamb was going to be Jesus Christ and was going to pay for all the sins of the entire world. Paid for. You just got to cash it in. You just have to receive it. The gift of eternal life. Last verse, Romans chapter 6. Did I ever say last verse? Isaiah, did I say last verse? Okay, thank you. This is our last verse, unless Isaiah gives me another one. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You know, these are the verses that we go to for salvation, and we take someone down the Romans road and we show them all these verses. But don't let these verses, because of familiarity or common, lose their impact. For the wage of sin is death. There that man was sitting by the pool. Here I was, if left, going to spend hellfire, eternity in hellfire. I'm so thankful the Lord paid my way, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was like someone came in with a giant package of presents. Here you go. Gift for you. Salvation. It's available. And for some reason, there's some people that say, no, I want to stay by the pool, blind, halt, withering, dying. I'm going to try and do it on my own. What a waste of time. What a waste of a life. What a waste of a soul. Hey, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, get saved. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Recognize your inability and come to the Lord and get immediately saved. The second thought is, if you are, why don't you help somebody else find Jesus? Tell somebody else about the Lord. If you've been immediately, well, there's somebody else sitting by the pool. Go get him and bring him to Jesus. Let's all stand. The place of five porches. The story goes on and it gets, they run into some Pharisees and it gets worse and then it gets better. And man, neat stuff. Certainly the Lord of the Sabbath. Brother Garrett, I see that hand.